And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, once again broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome to our Thursday morning broadcast. And my name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Tom Schaller. Pastor Schaller is the senior pastor here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, and we're thrilled to have him in the studio today as we continue our theme this week on the Grace Hour. And that theme is healthy change and how we can look forward to it and expect it. And today we'll take a look, we'll take a look at change from a different angle, how some change can be good. And some things perhaps we don't want to have changed in our lives. And we'll talk about the difference between those two. But we do want to remind you, friends, that during the broadcast, you can join us. The phone lines will be open. And if you'd like to weigh in and share a comment with us or ask a question live on the broadcast, please feel free to do so. And this is how you do it. Pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers, toll free. In all of North America, it's 800-338-7060. And locally in the Baltimore area, if you'd like to join us on the broadcast today, friends, you would dial 410-483-3700. We invite you to be a part of our broadcast each and every day. Look forward to having you join us, and we hope that you will again participate when the opportunity presents itself to you. Again, the Grace Hour is a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's life and the daily challenges that you may have to learn more about your faith in a practical way. And we always hope and pray that we will serve that purpose with each one of our broadcasts. But again, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, and talk about change that took place in his life. Well, he spoke about it in terms of verse 4 in chapter 3 of Philippians says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I all the more. And then he went on to list, I guess you could say, his credentials as a Pharisee, as someone who studied the laws of the nation of Israel. He said in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? All of those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Pastor Schaller, you talk about change. The Apostle Paul, he seemed to run the gamut.
Yes. If you notice in that text there that he had a regularity and actually a good kind, a religious activity. You had holidays, practices, disciplines, and he was an accomplished man in that context as a Pharisee, and yet when Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he had that life-changing experience of seeing Christ and listening to him and knowing that this is Christ. Then you have the regularity, and then you have the change that happens on that level where it's not a cosmetic change. It's a very deep and a personal one. And maybe that's where we should go with our program, Pastor Love, that that there are cosmetic changes and there are changes of environment. People move from one state to another, or one home to another, or one country to another, and then nothing really changes. So maybe we should look at this text and just say that he made an evaluation about his life, and he just said basically that the religious part of my life wasn't enough. I found Christ, and he really deeply changed my values.
Mm. There are, and you mentioned this, we talked about this even before the broadcast today, there are just some things that, frankly, we don't want to change.
Yeah.
For instance, if someone were to say, you know, I read my Bible every day, I start my morning off with a devotional message, or I go to church on a regular basis. Those things are wonderful. We would say to people, good, keep that up. Mm-hmm. Don't usher in something different. You know, don't find your favorite television program that conflicts with church service and say, I really need to change. I need to start watching this favorite program that I would like to see, but I can't because it conflicts with church. No, keep those regular godly activities mm-hmm. as a part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when we spoke last night from John 9 about the blind man who was healed by Jesus, and he worshiped Jesus and knew Jesus, though he had not seen him, but he did meet him, but this was after the healing and because of the way it happened. Spiritual encounter, this spiritual understanding of who is Christ, that's the big game changer. That's the thing that counts the most in life. So when we talk about the change when you meet Jesus and become a, you know, you end up being moved by him and embracing him, then that's the kind of change that really it has huge consequences.
Is it safe to say that if all a person has is religion instead of a relationship with God, that they might be more focused on the cosmetic part of their relationship as opposed to those deeper, more meaningful relationship that God wants to have with his people?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to describe it, but you know, when it is really manifesting itself in your life, when you really have new, you know, you don't like the sinful things anymore. You kind of drop them. You don't really fight against them, but they just kind of are not there in the forefront. They just kind of fall away, and you have found this. And this is essentially what Paul is saying here, that he counted the life he had in the past as dung, and that he had found something of much great value, and that was the relationship with Christ.
Mm. And friends, once again, we want you to know that you can join us on the broadcast if you'd like to. The phone lines will remain open during the entire broadcast. So if you'd like to ask a question or share a thought with us, please feel free to do so. Toll-free number is 800-338-7060 and the local number 410-483-3700. This spiritual change, this healthy change that we look forward to and long to have in our lives, is it something that can happen on a regular basis, on a day-by-day basis, let's say, for instance? We read Paul's letter to the church at Rome that we're not to be conformed to this world, which can happen if we do nothing, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Can we explain to our audience what the renewing of our mind is all about and how important it is as we walk by faith with God?
Mm-hmm. I think of three things. Renewal of the mind is a spiritual phenomena that takes place between God and the believer. And let's say the mind is troubled, the mind is confused, the mind is stagnant or frozen somehow, and let's say a sinful pattern of thought, revenge, jealousy, hatred, bitterness. But in submission to God, God renews the mind. He really has an effect on the mind so that it's renewed from the fleshly mind to Christ's mind. And with Christ's mind, there is not the jealousy, there's not the confusion, the boredom, or the stagnation, but instead there is a refreshed sense of God and his nature, a refreshed sense of you yourself are healthy, and refreshed sense regarding other people. So there's no one you hate, no one you want revenge on, nobody that you're bitter about. It's all done, and you're renewed in your mind. So this is how we live a different life, and this is the work of grace that happens in sanctifying us.
Mm. What if a young believer who might have been stuck in those kinds of sinful thought patterns reaches this conclusion? This is who I am. This is who I have always been. This is who I always will be. What kind of encouragement could we share with that kind of a person who finds themselves born again, but yet they still are stuck in some of those old habits?
Be spirit-filled, assemble, be with brothers and sisters that are growing. Learn to live in faith. Put your trust in God, because that mindset that is kind of frozen or stagnated and living in that revenge or fear or the anxiety or passivity, all of these frames of mind that we are all prone to must be brought into submission before God and faith in God. And the God will renew our mind and show us that we're holding on to, embracing something that's unhealthy. Give it up, surrender, worship God, and he will renew your mind.
Mm. And you touched upon something that is very practical in the lives of believers that are longing for this kind of healthy change, and that's the company that we keep. How important is it that we surround ourselves with wise people, godly people, spiritually minded people, people that are characterized by vision, people that are spiritually optimistic?
Yeah, you know, it's just a principle of life that I will be something like my environment, and I will be something like the people I hang out with. And so maybe, Pastor Love, when you were in high school, did your mother ever say to you, who are your friends, you know, be careful of this one or that one and that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
She did?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a story?
Well, she would often say, you know, I'm concerned about the crowd that you're running with.
And the crowd.
And most of the time, if not all of the time, she was right.
Yeah,
she was right, because that impact shows up everywhere in life.
Yeah,
and in your home with your family, at school, at the workplace, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah, and even in becoming a believer and being with people, maybe they wouldn't be my preference, or they wouldn't be the people that maybe I would choose, but I found that if God could choose for me and put me in with people that that were, you know, they were in, they were spirit filled. They were loving, caring. They were maybe sometimes they were creative, active. Then this is a choice. And, you know, there are people that, stay away. And even though they, because they're afraid, maybe they're not sure how things go or who people are, they insulate themselves. And, but, the best thing would be be heads up, be awake regarding life and realize that actually, I need to get connected with some good people.
Mm. And that can be, talk about change. I remember when I, you know, was in that process where God was wanted to set me apart, wanted sanctification to begin to happen. I remember what a radical transition that was. You know, you went from this one crowd who thought in a completely different, diametrically opposed way in which this new crowd was thinking. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make that transition, because I went from associates and friends and people I knew that were completely ungodly to a group of people that were, in my mind, in my estimate, completely godly.
Yeah.
It was almost a shock to my system. And I did wonder, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can make this transition, but you know, you can, and yeah, we have, and
yes,
the benefits and the blessings,
yeah,
of, you know, trading places.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't even put a value on it.
Yeah. And there is in the assembly with your friends. I mean, you get in a car, it doesn't have to be a big group, but you know, you got two or three or four or five guys and ladies perhaps in there too. And you travel somewhere, or you're talking and interacting, and you realize that actually this is, keeping me out of trouble. It's educating me. I'm learning something. These people are making sense. They got their priorities right. They're going somewhere. There's a lot of pluses to it. Yeah.
And it might take stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, to get through that. Maybe there's some discomfort, a little shock to the system. But once you get beyond it, like you said, you realize this is a good place for me to be, and these are the right people for me to be with. And the influence that they're going to have on my soul, mm-hmm, and my relationship with God is only going to produce,
yeah,
fruit in the future.
Yeah. They actually do care about you.
Yeah, which was...
It's the mind of Christ, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
The other crowd, I mean, did they care about you?
No. You know, even though they claimed to be friends, I remember one time... I don't know what happened. I think I had to go into the hospital for some procedure or surgery. And all of those friends, not one of those friends came and visited me. But the Christians who were sharing the gospel, when they found out I was in the hospital, they came.
Yeah.
And I remember what an impact that made upon my soul. Like, I kept looking for my friends, but these people showed up.
Yeah.
And it was because they genuinely cared for who I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a shock, but I thought to myself, looks like I'll be heading in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that change began. And let's talk about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read that for our listeners. It says, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, are changed. And there's that word. That's our theme this week. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a great portion of scripture, because in that one passage, verse 18, we see how this process takes place. But we got to be beholding. And I think that word behold, it means a lot more than a casual glance from time to time. But really the focus and the attention of our soul is upon who Christ is. In other words, we get a revelation. We really start to see who he is. And we are now looking to him and looking at him and listening to what he has to say. And that's where the change starts to happen, doesn't it?
Yes. You know that portion there where it says, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that is the word for a mirror, right?
Mm.
And what do you think the mirror is that we are with an open face? Well, let's say something about open face. Like, not everybody has an open face. Maybe they have a mask on. Maybe we are afraid, so we'll show part of our face. Sometimes you might see somebody that has a hair growing down, and they cover half of their face with their hair, you know, and like, why do they do that? Or we don't want to be seen. We could be heard, but we don't really want to show our face. So what is this that we with an open face look into a mirror?
Is he speaking of the fact that we should be whole heart? It's got to be our whole person, our whole being, wholeheartedly looking to him.
Yeah. Wouldn't it mean that?
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe I have nothing to hide. I mean, my face may not be a good looking, but this is who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, you know, like open face. And we're looking into the mirror. What did you say the mirror was?
The glass, the reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we're what's beautiful about this passage is that it begins by beholding, but doesn't it produce a reflecting?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it kind of can be both ways. We are looking unto Jesus, of course. We're occupied with him. We wholeheartedly present our whole person to him. But yet, once that beholding begins to happen, then there's a reflecting. And people begin to see something about our lives that's different, something that's attractive, something that speaks of God.
Wow, so we're looking into the mirror, and we see the glory of the Lord in that mirror. And this is God reflecting back to us who we really are.
Mm.
And so we are changed, you know. This is the real radical transformation that happens inside the heart of a person. And they just see that, oh, this really is the glory of God. This is really God is in this. And then we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. These are very high sounding words, but actually, are they true?
They are true. And I like the idea too, that there's a progressive nature behind those words. This is something that's happening on a consistent basis. We're going from glory, one phase of glory, to the next phase of glory. Much like Paul wrote to the Romans again, and he said we go from one phase of faith to another phase of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it implies growth. There's a progression that's happening. We're moving. We're going in a direction that we once were not going.
Do you feel like in your walk with God over a decade, a couple, 3 or 4 decades, that you could say in a 10-year period of time, I actually have sensed the change in my heart and my life?
Yes, absolutely. And it really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think the way I used to think. And mm-hmm. In fact, to be honest with you, in high school, I don't recall thinking at all. But I do remember when I came to Christ, I really started to engage my mind, which I felt I hadn't really done to any real extent up until that point.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really, it was fascinating. It was like, yes, God was saying, you can think now and really start to process all of those, you know, those images of life. You can start to process them, and you're going to have some real concrete thoughts with to think with.
Yeah. I mean, that was one big effect the faith had on me, which was to think, to start to think. I think when you meet an atheist or a secular-minded person who, you know, is just saying what they say and thinking, and you just provoke them to think deeply, think more deeply on a subject. Are you an atheist? Yes, I'm an atheist. There is no God. Okay. Like, have you been thinking deeply about it? Mm-hmm. Like, tell me, explain to me, because I'm interested in the subject. I'm not an atheist, I'm a believer, but I'd like to hear from you. Could you prove to me or talk to me or reason with me why you are an atheist? Because I'm sure you've thought deeply about it.
Mm. That's it. No, I love that. And I think, yeah, wasn't that Paul's M.O.? Didn't he, whenever we read about it in the book of Acts, whenever he went into a particular town or city, one of the first things he did was to go to the synagogue,
yeah,
and to reason with them, yeah, out of the scriptures,
yes,
regarding who Christ was.
Yes.
So I think, you know, obviously he must have had some very long, lengthy debates and some arguments and some opposition, but he always seemed to welcome it because it was an opportunity to really expose the truth of who Christ was.
There's a number of people. Muggeridge was one. There was this the case for Christ by
Lee Strobel.
Mm-hmm. There was an attorney, I think his name was Morris, who set out to disprove Christianity or to write against it, and they became believers in their study and their research, and you know, so this is the result of thinking. I cannot prove in one sense, but I can give you reasonable arguments that you can consider. But it would take ultimately faith for you to believe. But there's God who will help you. And with God, all things are possible.
Amen. Sanctification, that's a word that we're familiar with. And most of our listeners perhaps are too. But some people don't understand what it is. It's a theological term. But practically speaking, it's the process whereby God changes us.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is it, and from our perspective, that we cooperate in that process with God, in that the whole business of sanctification?
Yeah, it's actually fun to grow and be embracing. It's like any relationship. Relationships break down, and when you want to go your way, you can, and relationship ends. But God is somebody that you want to know, and if you could believe and trust Him, then He will carry you in this sanctification, and you find your life touched by God and affected by God. And this is really what sanctification is. We have salvation once and for all, but sanctification is everyday living. And this is when God's power is given to you so that you can live in a different way.
Mm. And what about, is it possible that sanctification can take place without the proclamation of the Word of God, without, let's say, earlier in the broadcast, we talked about the importance of assembling together with other believers for the purpose of hearing the message of the Bible?
Right, right. Yeah, no. I mean, the mind of man is a very important part of our being. And if my mind doesn't have understanding, and if the ability to hear instruction for the Bible to speak to us and be taught and explained is at the very heart of our relationship with God. Left to ourselves, not good, but then submitted to the scripture, and we get enlightened.
Amen. Well, we had a number of folks weigh in on the chat here. Let's see. Carol has written to us, and she says, you know, human beings change only when they come to the Holy Spirit with total submission and obedience and drawing from the life of the Word, not our knowledge. God alone does the changing through His Holy Spirit. And I think that that's what Paul said. What we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even is by the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, we know, I think many of us realize that the whole reason why we came to Christ and to be saved in the first place was because we couldn't change. We might have tried, like so many people have tried to change, and then they come up empty, and they tried to be a better person. They tried to drop those bad habits, but they were always unsuccessful. And it's not that, you know, God wants us to step into a program of behavior modification. He says, I want to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new nature, a new way to live. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the Spirit. It's not going to be by might or by power, but by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit's ministry. I mean, where would we be without that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yes. No question about it. The book of Acts, the epistles, the gospels. I mean, our whole New Testament is that our God is a speaking God, and we that are able to hear. Now, there are those that are dull of hearing, and they're not able to hear it, and they just ignore it and don't recognize the power of it. But if we can hear, and just it'll be word little by little and impartation, and open my heart.
Faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have a few minutes left in the broadcast, Pastor Schaller, but if we could kind of put a capstone on this theme of healthy change, could we sum it up in three or four things as to how a believer could experience healthy change in their lives as believers?
Sure. Number one, thinking. I think that this is attitude. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, four and five. I can read those to you. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, is verse 3. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he explains, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when our thinking changes, when we start to think with God, take scripture and meditate on it and memorize it and pray with it and live by it and obey it, and then there will be peace. Peace will come into your great peace. Have they that love your word, nothing will offend them. Mm. So that's one of them.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about that?
Oh, no, I totally. And the provision that God has given us, and Paul brings this out when he writes to the Corinthians, he says, we have the mind of Christ. What a mm-hmm. privilege that is, to be able to think with God's thoughts. And I know that Pastor Stevens authored that book many, many years ago, Thinking with God. And it's kind of been a premise of our ministry. Hasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
It's kind of what's driven us as a ministry and helped to fulfill a worldwide vision.
There's no question. It's thinking. No question. Thinking. What do we read? What do we talk about? How we worship is thinking. There's no doubt about it. We are thinkers. We are people. It doesn't mean that we are necessarily intelligent. It just means that we have chosen to process life through our hearts and minds. And God is faithful to give us his thoughts. And these are the thoughts written here in the scripture, and we take them and meditate on them and relate to them. Number two, we could say we have thinking, and then we have obedience. Obedience is a life-changing activity. Obedience, obeying what we are embracing, what we are thinking, we are obeying. I read the scripture, I meditate on it in my thinking, and then I practice it. I bring it home. I want to bring it into my life. I think that's there's a big gap sometimes between what I am thinking and what I'm doing. Like, what am I thinking, and thinking to the degree that I actually embrace it, give myself to it, embrace it, and I'm a doer. Remember James saying, we are not only hearers, but doers.
Mm. Doesn't that imply that what it is that we listen to, there's a submission to it? We are coming under its authority and its power, and it begins to control us, which is amazing when you stop. Because I think sometimes, I remember performing a wedding ceremony once, and I used the word obey in the ceremony, and someone, a family member, came up and approached me after the ceremony and said, you know, obedience is for dogs. And I began to explain to them how that they misunderstand the whole nature of the word obedience.
Oh.
Because there's a submission. I says, if there's not a submission in a marriage and a submission in a home, or a submission in a workplace, then there's not going to be, you know, any results.
Wow.
But, so it means something more than just say, you know, you're in the military. Yes, sir. You know, and you do it because you know there'd be terrible consequences if you don't do it. But it's not terrible consequences that drive us to obedience, but great blessings.
Yeah. I mean, is that person suggesting that we're to be in rebellion, not obeying, you know?
Yeah.
Submission is for dogs. And like, how long have you lived, sir? I mean, do you really believe that?
Mm.
Submission is for life. It's for children. It's for parents. It's husbands, wives. It's for hospitals and police stations. And obedience and submission is a big part of life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then to say it's only for dogs, then dogs may know better than people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a practical illustration, you know, I mean, there are speed limits on our roads and on our highways. And last night, we're returning from New York after doing a chapel service, someone here in the body and myself, and we're coming home, and we're, okay, we may not be going the speed limit, but maybe a little bit above it. And then someone just came by us at a rate of speed, like we were standing still.
Right.
And then within about 100 yards, we saw that car completely lose control.
Ooh.
And, you know, bounce around the highway and then off into the ditch.
Ooh.
Yeah, within the last 12 hours.
Really?
Yeah, so we pulled over.
Roads were wet.
Yeah, yes, they were wet, but clearly there was something was not right, because we saw this driver, you know, he could have passed a truck on the right that was in the right-hand lane and passed on the left, but he chose to go along the breakdown lane. That's where he lost control of his car.
Oh.
And at that high rate of speed, he went into the trees and the ditch. And so we stopped, and he was okay. It was a young man, and he got out of his car. And I had already called 911, and the police and the ambulance were on their way. But clearly he was in shock. But we told him, "Very, you're very, very fortunate to be alive." So there's something to be said about that speed limit, because when you travel at that rate of speed, I mean,
sure,
there are consequences.
Sure. The third word is that I would say would be fellowship.
Yes.
So thinking, obeying, and then fellowship with others that are thinking and obeying. Like, it's a joy when we walk with God and we are all thinking with God and obeying him. submitted to him, and then he pours that blessing on all of us, and we find ourselves in a rich fellowship. Mm. And there's nothing better in life than to be on a boat in the will of God with a group of other believers that are on the boat in obedience, rejoicing in God and his mind, and then we're on an adventure. And we are bonding together, we are rejoicing together, we are obeying together, and we are fellowshipping together.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that out of that fellowship comes service.
Yeah.
Ministry.
Yeah.
Because of all that we have and all that we share with each other, we realize we've got to take this and we've got to share it with others around us.
Well, we're easily, we get off the boat, we go down a street, we're laughing and talking, and we feel good about what we're doing, what we're talking about, what we're practicing, embracing, and then people go, well, who are you? Who are you? What are you doing? You go into a pizza shop, order a pizza, you're kind to people, you're talking to them, you're talking in the pizza shop, having a nice time. You are considerate of other people, you are kind, but you are alive. You are blessed. So this is a new way of life, and people need it. And you don't need alcohol to make that happen. Amen. You've got God. You don't need anything else. You find God. It's a lot cheaper. Doesn't cost you as much. It's just your whole heart before God, and he's going to take care of you.
Amen. Oh, great thoughts. Again, those things that will help all of us experience healthy change. Thinking right with the right attitude, obedience, fellowship, and then before you know it, service, ministry to others.
Yeah.
Pastor Shallow, thanks so much. Appreciate you being with us today and some great thoughts on the subject of healthy change.
Thank you, Pastor Love.
And thank you, friends, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow in a little less than 24 hours from now with another live edition of the Grace Hour. We'll wrap this theme this week on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, may God bless you.